Hey, welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, November 17th, 2022. And we're just going to go into our program. We're running kind of late. So we'll go right straight to questions, I guess. Jan, do we have any questions? Or Terry, who's handling the questions? Anything mailed in?
Yes, we do have questions. Let me pull them up.
Okay, and then from there, we're just going to go straight into open forum. I haven't had any time this week to plan anything special.
Okay. You ready for your first question?
Yep, go right ahead.
Can you please tell me who is the contact person for the United New Mexico Common Law Grand Jury at Post Office Box 82, Santa Rosa, New Mexico? I have a group of people here who are interested in getting this show on the road.
Okay, well, what we've done is they're not active at this point. We had every one person.
You're going away, John. I can barely hear you again.
Oh, boy. Okay, let me try again. I don't even know what to say with this thing here. Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to open this silly thing that
sounds like he's gone now, Jan.
I think he is.
Okay, go ahead with the next question, with that question, Jan.
Okay, I'll repeat it for you, John. It says, can you please tell me who is the contact person for the Unified New Mexico Common Law Grand Jury at Post Office Box 82, Santa Rosa, New Mexico? I have a group of people here who are interested in getting this show on the road.
Right. We have organized in every
state. You went away again, John.
I don't know what to do. Okay, has my volume changed now, or am I still okay?
No, nope, you're nice and loud.
Yep, nice and loud.
All right, just let me know if there's a problem with that. Okay, getting back to the question, yeah. We have organized every state in the union. We've had an individual for every state of the union go out and get a seal, get an address, and come together for our first grand jury. That was done quite a few years ago. The state juries are not state grand juries are not activated yet, nor can they be. We're in the process of moving into the United States Supreme Court. Actually, we're already in the federal district courts. But we're going to be moving deeper into that and filing some more papers and working towards the process of giving back people the power and the authority of operating their own grand juries under the auspices of the local courts, and also to control the courts of law. Courts of law are to be controlled by the people, the juries and grand juries, and administrators for the purpose of bringing juries together, and a judge can sit in on a court, but he's got to act as a magistrate. So it's either a magistrate or a magistrate judge who acts as a traffic cop but can make no decisions in a court of law. That's common law. That's the way we were set up originally, and they've stolen that from us. We need to take it back. So it's not a simple process. We've been working on it for years. We've had hundreds of papers filed in the courts. We have a lot of cases attached to us that proves the fact that they've been working together, and there's a conspiracy ultimately, because they're all doing the same thing. They're denying people their right of due process. They're denying people, a right. Well, just I guess that's the key thing, the right of due process and also controlling the courts. So we are working. I was working on the papers, final papers to be filed. My computer went down 3 weeks ago, and I've been a wreck for 3 weeks. I haven't really done anything other than running around trying to get my computer back up and going and then feeding my information into my laptop so I can do a program. But I think tomorrow, hopefully, my computer will be back up and running. That's the case. If that's the case, then I will be getting back to writing papers, and we will be filing probably in the next 30 days, as long as I can get back to writing papers and work out some other things and bring all the papers that we've already filed together and then file a paper for that purpose. Right now, the only active grand jury we have is a unified United States common law grand jury, which is a collection of all the grand juries with all 50 states. And we have, you know, gone to all 50 states and got someone to take care of that business and also to introduce us throughout the state and all the counties and throughout the state, every state. So that's pretty much where we're at. Anybody that's interested in getting involved with the grand jury, as far as it being an administrator for the grand jury or paralegal for the grand jury, we need one paralegal for every county. We need four administrators for every county, total of five. The paralegal will also be a backup administrator. Someone goes on vacation, is sick, or whatever, they get overloaded, that fifth wheel is there for them. But basically, most of the paperwork will be handled by the paralegal. I'm sure the paralegal will also be able to train the administrators that do some of the paperwork, so collectively we can work together to assist each other. And we must be working out of the courthouse itself within the county, so under the auspices of the courts, but not under the control, at arm's length, not under the control of anybody. Courts of law is run by the King's Bench, ultimately. Grand juries bring the court cases in by indicting or not indicting, and the trial jury runs the case, makes a decision on not only law, not only the facts, but also on the law, and also the restitution, the judgment, the decision. Everything takes place from the King's Bench. The King's Bench, of course, is the trial jury, and the King of the Court is God himself, nature's God. And so we are to operate under justice and under the will of God to the best that we can. But no judges involved, no political animals involved, and that's what we have to get to. So if people want to get involved with this, they need to get educated. They need to come to our website. And matter of fact, let me open up my, if I can get to it. Okay, they can come to the website, and underneath education, that's where they really want to start getting an education. The education starts here. They can follow along on that education, you know, that this page, and it'll lead them right through all of the courses we have and all the information necessary in order to become properly educated. One should really get educated in this sense. We do have an extended education, which is the jury administrator's course. And anybody who wants to become an administrator or paralegal for the process, they need to be taking every one of these courses. We have a foundation study, which is just a study, no questions, but a series of videos. We have introduction to the Constitution course. That course has is out open. It's a very simple, it's like a Constitution 101. And we have a civics course, which is a very, very interesting course, which really lays out the processes of how we got to where we're at, and a lot of information. There's also Government by Consent, which pretty much follows a lot of my book that I wrote, Government by Consent. But this is a course, that course is probably our most difficult course. We have a malicious course and a jury administrator's course. We also offer certificates of completion on all those courses. But we do require anyone that wants to become an administrator to take all these courses, and we'll have a special certificate, which we haven't created yet, but we have a special certificate of completion for those people who have achieved the jury administrators. The jury administrators will also be under the auspices also of the county committee of safety. So the committee of safety is the key thing that people need to get involved. And that you can get information on that, start a committee of safety, and you click on start here to organize a committee of safety, and you follow the information on that. So those are the two things that are necessary for anybody who wants to get involved. It must be, the people must become educated, you must get the certificates. Now, we're in a point where, you know, it's a school of hard knocks, we're all learning. And if we get into the courts prematurely, before we can get people can get through all these courses, that'll be fine. As long as people are going through the courses, and we're very careful, and we got a paralegal to assist us in certain ways on the legal end of things, outside of the bar process, because the bar is also, we're suing the bar also, by the way, because they're the ones that have destroyed our courts of law. They have destroyed our political process. They have created the two political parties, created and put one up against the other. And this goes all the way back into the colonies. So we have a lot of work to do. It's possible that we can achieve in the courts within a month. And I would think by the end of the year, because devolution is in play, we'll probably be able to be at a point where we'll be able to get into the courts. But we need people to get involved. We need people to become administrators. We need people to get the committees of safety going. And again, those committees of safety pretty much control the political process, and they oversee the judicial process. In other words, if there's any problems with an individual that's in the system, maybe someone who is not holding up to their vow, because we require a vow, be taken a vow to God, to act with a sense of justice, honor, and mercy. And anybody that is out of control in one way or another, you know, we will from time to time be plagued with sociopaths and psychopaths. Any place that there is power and authority, you'll find those people gravitate to that. And if we have the problem with that, then you could take that to the committees of safety, and the Judiciary Committee particularly will make the decision on that, and maybe even the whole committee. We'll have to work that out. But they will be able to either repair the problem or dismiss the individual, in other words, fire them. Because there has to be a process to get rid of troublemakers, and we will have troublemakers. It's the nature of man to begin with, number one. We've been involved with this long enough to see the troublemakers we've had, the people come in trying to take control and take things into a different direction. So we just have to be careful of that. So that's what you need to do, and keep in touch with our Monday night programs, because we will be making announcements as time goes on. Anybody that's going through these processes should be coming to our Monday night programs, especially now, because we're very, very close, very, very close to taking our courts back, very, very close to potentially taking back our political process, and the only way people are going to take the political process back is to become educated. And thereby, through committees of safety, have government by consent. All right, I know there was a long answer, but I guess that was a pretty involved question anyway. Next question.
Okay, how do we defend ourselves against this digital currency that Biden is getting ready to put into law for the nation?
Very simple. Get coins, lots of coins, because...
You went very low, John. Your volume went down.
Nothing there?
Okay, that's better.
Better? Okay, I have no idea why this is happening. All right, it's feedback, so someone's got their mic open. Repeat the question. I got distracted.
Okay, how do we defend ourselves against this digital currency that Biden is getting ready to put into law for the nation?
Okay, that's not going to stand. We're going to be going to gold and silver. It doesn't matter. They're trying to do a reset. They're trying to do something with the digital currency. They're trying to continue to take us into slavery. Anybody who's paying attention to devolution, you need to be paying attention to devolution if you're not. Underneath our page, we got today's issue on the blue bar, and if any, just look on the desktop here, you can see it. I'm highlighting today's issues. And if you come down, there's a couple of things you want to really, really look at. You want to take go into...
John, you're not sharing your screen.
I'm not sharing my screen. Okay, let me try to do that. Hang on a second. Okay, how's that? Am I sharing my screen now?
Yes, you're sharing your screen now.
Okay. All right. As I was saying a little, let me move this view here, gallery view. Okay. Okay. Underneath the directory, and let me know if I go down low again. It seems if I pull my mic out and push it back in again, it seems to come back up. So you have a problem hearing me. Okay, underneath today's issues, you'll come and you'll see devolution. If you click on devolution, this is probably the best place to start. There is a video that I want to put up here, a really, really powerful video. And I've been wanting to get it up this week, but I haven't been able to get on my other computer at all. And just tonight, I got access to an NLA back office here, I guess you'd call it, in order to do some manipulation changes and uploading some stuff. I'll be uploading probably some one or two maybe videos put on Rumble that we've broadcasted over the past couple of weeks or so. I also have under devolution, well, let me go to another. Well, under devolution, I'm going to be putting a video, and this video is by this an individual who is in the Army, and he understands regulations and different codes involved with the, you know, the services, uniform codes, all kinds of things concerning codes and processes by the military. And he is pretty clear and laid it out. He's very convincing to me and has laid out that President Trump is indeed still the president. We're at a time period in history where there are two presidents, and this is not the first time. This is the second time there's been two presidents. The first time is back in Lincoln. Right now, we have enemies foreign and domestic. Trump, when he came into office in 2017, executed devolution, which was set up by Kennedy, and he was killed before he was able to execute it. But he had put it in process. He got the special forces going specifically to deal with this problem. This individual says that there are over 200 generals that are directly related and have given an allegiance, of course, to their oath ultimately, and have acknowledged that President Trump executed devolution and is still the president of the United States, even though the resident continues on to act as president. He's doing a lot of destruction, but that can all be turned around very quickly, and Trump himself had mentioned that. So anyway, we got, and underneath those 200 generals are hundreds of other generals that go right along the line with those generals. So it's going to be a military move. There is no other way to take this nation back. The enemy is very deep, deeply seated. They've been working at this thing for 200 years, literally. We never won. The Revolutionary War never ended. Let's put it that way. It just continued covertly. Now it is starting to be seen, so it's now coming overt. And once the military makes its move, which will they will make their move this year, there's no doubt about it. Before this year is out, the military will make a move. I feel pretty confident about that. And we will take this nation back. Now, Trump, of course, said he's going to give it back to the people. This is the people's business. We need to be controlling our government, and we do that by government by consent. And people do not know how to have government by consent. That's the unfortunate thing. None of us were taught that. Well, that is what we have researched and worked on for the past 13 years, how to have government by consent, how to bring natural law back into the system. What is natural law? To come to an understanding of our Constitution and who we are as a people, what our heritage is, where did our nation come from, what's up with this democracy. We're not a democracy. We are a republic. We are a natural law republic, the only natural law republic in the entire world, second only, one in the past, of course, going back into 1600 B.C., which was Israel, the first natural law republic. Well, we are the second natural law republic in history and the only one today. There are many republics. They have different laws. You know, ours is different because we have natural law, and that's what we are built upon, natural law. The Declaration of Independence sets that, which is the foundation of all of our founding documents. It's the foundation of we the people as the United States. It's the declaration to declaring our independence from England, and bringing us under nature's God as a rule. That's what our court system has been set up as. And that gave us an unalienable right. The blessings of God gave us an unalienable right to write a constitution. We the people are above the constitution. We wrote it in order to control the government. So the government agencies are all under the constitution, and they're to be obedient to the constitution, and they are not to exercise any authority beyond the constitution. And as a matter of fact, if we followed the Constitution, if we the people establish, take control and take back our government by having government by consent, and we do that by committees of safety, same process our founding fathers used to create this United States of America, is the same process we can maintain it and have government by consent. And that's why we have put up courses to teach people these things. But we need to take it back, and we need to take it back on the grassroots level. And unless we do that, we won't have government by consent. Now, the military, you know, Trump can do all the work, and he can execute the military, and the military can seize control of the enemy and, you know, incarcerate them and put them at the end of a short rope. And then Trump can then give back to the people a government by consent. But if you don't know how to have it, you can't have government by consent. That is the sole purpose of National Liberty Alliance. We're here to educate people, to get people to communicate not only between us and them, but between each other, county to county, state to state, and to organize. National Liberty Alliance is a hands-off organization. We just advise, give education, supply the education, supply information. People have questions. We've done research. We can give answers. But as far as the day-to-day business on the grassroots level, that's totally up to the people within the counties. And we have 3,133 counties. We need 3,133 committees of safety, all working together, ultimately, to have government by consent. We have setting up through the committees of safety, committees of correspondence. And the committees of correspondence work between county to county to share information. Hey, this worked for us. Well, we're having problems with this. What are you guys doing over there to deal with this problem? You know, let's work together, county to county, state to state, to require our congressmen to do specific things. We already started a page of ideas that we have to brainstorm. There are lots of problems Congress is not doing. Now, our Constitution was set up in such a way that there is nothing to debate. There is no need for political parties. Political parties belong to democracies. Democracy is the first step to an oligarchy. We have already become an oligarchy. There are the president and puppets.
Your volume is going way down, John. We lost you completely, John.
How about now?
That's back.
I just plugged it back in. Okay. Boy, this is weird on this machine here. Okay. Let me see if I can recall where I was at. I lost my place. Let me just start talking, and then maybe I'll be repeating myself a little bit here. We have to have government by consent. It's up to the people to do that. They have to take control. Our Constitution was created in such a way that there is no need for a two-party system, three-party system, any party system. The only thing we need to do is elect statesmen to go and do their job. We've already given them their marching orders. We've made all the decisions for them, and it's within the Constitution. Article 1 tells the Congress and the Senate exactly what their job is, what the authority is, what their jurisdictions are, and they can't go beyond that. And that's that. There's nothing else to talk about. When these people make a platform, they get into elected office and they make a platform and start talking about gun control and start talking about this and more rights for these group of people and a special thing for that group of people and all this craziness has nothing to do with we the people as a republic, because all the decisions have been made. There's nothing for them to talk about. Okay, if we have to add something to the Constitution, they could talk about that. There's a process. And we can add to the Constitution. But before we can even think about adding anything, which I don't think we'll ever have to add anything, our founding fathers did an unbelievable job. But if there's something comes up, fine, we'll deal with it. But, hey, before we add anything to the Constitution, why don't we exercise and use what we already have and understand what we have, understand our heritage, understand how it is that we can have government by consent and start exercising it. And then maybe we consider, okay, whether there's something that the Constitution, you know, needs that it falls on. Again, party system is for the sole purpose, created for the sole purpose, and it was the enemy already in the gate back in the Federalist Papers, and they were the Federalists. They had seized control of the Federalist and made a party out of that. And George Washington had a lot to say about that in his speech when he left office. Three quarters of his speech leaving office was about party problems, and that we shouldn't go down that road, and they're going to be the destruction of our nation. And indeed, they brought us to that brink. Let's not make the mistake again. So we have to get rid of parties. We will be suing to get rid of parties. We will be suing to get rid of bar attorneys, the Bar Association totally. You know, they're connecting the Bar Association for judges, the Bar Association for lawyers. We need to sue to get rid of all of them. And we need to bring this this government back under the thumb, under the chains, bind them down by the chains of the Constitution. That's what we need to do. And then bring the king of the court back in, and the people need to take control. And that's where we come in and make our decisions with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. At the end of the day, mercy must always be considered. And sometimes the decision might be, hey, definitely, no, mercy is not hold up here. But anyway, that's pretty much where it's at. Next question, I guess.
Okay. If my wife wants a divorce and has threatened to use attorneys to make me pay alimony, what remedy do I have under common law that could prevent this? Or is it really just a losing battle, meaning she'll win any way you look at it? I can't hear you. Did you get the question, John? John?
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
No. Okay. Yeah, I had to unplug myself again and come back in. Okay. I don't know why it's doing that, but look, it's difficult because sometimes people get very unreasonable. It could be the individual asking the question that's unreasonable, could be the other party that's unreasonable, could be both of you is unreasonable. But I'll tell you right now, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose everything to the lawyers if you allow the lawyers to take control. One of the things that has taken place is they've put the government has got between marriages. Okay, they've brought marriage licenses. There's no such thing in common law as a marriage license. Okay, so you have a partner, and that partner, when you came in and got married by the government, whether it was through a church and then you got your marriage license, you went through a church, or whether you went to the justice of the peace, it doesn't matter. You went and got married with a partner. So there's three parties involved. There's the husband, there's the wife, and there's the government. Okay. Now that was all unlawful in a court of law. It's unlawful in a republic, an act of law republic. Ultimately, that is null and void. Okay. And you can take that into a common law court. If you don't know how to open up a common law court, then I suggest that you get the book Court Access in the Common Law that I wrote. It's available right here on the right-hand side of our website. It's $39, so it's not an expensive book. It's a hardcover. It's a really good book, and that'll give you the process and the procedures. Now, you got to be careful because you should come and ask questions at that point because we've got some paperwork we're adding to that that we've come up with after the book was written, and that will assist in getting into common law court. And it's going to be real difficult to get a common law court going until we get to the other side of devolution. But you could start the process right now. Court process takes time. You know, you file your papers. It's a 30-day process. The response comes back 30 days. You're 60 days in. We're at the end of the year. Devolution at that point, I'm sure, will be totally in play. And we'll be coming on the other side, and we'll get our common law back. And we will be fighting for that common law and clarify what that common law process is to make it clear to the courts, to the judiciary, and to our federal and to our government so that they understand that they're not to be sticking their nose into the people's business, trying to control the people's business. So that's what you need to kind of do. You got to get educated. I'd say not only get the book, start taking these courses. Get educated. Come back and ask questions out of the book. And then we'll be giving... I've been wanting to post some more papers, a page with additional information to the book. But, you know, I've been down with my computer for 3 weeks, so now I'm back up. Hopefully I'll get to it soon and get some papers up there, which will assist in opening up a court of record, number one, get access into the courts without paying for it, number two, and actually get the government out of our partnership. The whole thing was a fraud. It doesn't hold any water. It was all illegal, unlawful, what they have done. So that'll be the position and the argument. And again, on the other side, you can win that. So, all right, next question.
Nikki just suggested mediation as a possibility for this. What do you think of mediation?
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. I agree. You know, especially if you've got a church. A church would be a good place to go to get some mediation. But there are counselors and all kinds of people. I wouldn't go to the courts. Well, I guess you could go to the courts for mediation. You got to be careful when you go there. You sign a contract, and that could be a problem again, another contract you're in. But here's the thing. Look at what I would do if I had to go through a divorce, okay, and there was just no way to get out of it, okay, I would sit down and figure out what needs to be decided, all the things. You can go to the courthouse and get a paper, and they list out all the things concerning they'll give you a booklet and everything, list out everything. And that's a good, helpful thing because you can start sitting down and make decisions, okay? How are you going to split things? What you need to do? And if you do it just and right, okay, just bring it to your spouse, write it down, lay it out, make it as righteous as possible, you know, and then give that to your spouse as an offer and say, you know, come back with what you think after that. And then when they come back, now let's get together and discuss it. And let's try to be reasonable. Let's not be angry. Things fly off the handle real quick in divorces. And that, you know, look at, you're your worst enemy. When you lose communications with your spouse, you become your worst enemy. It's done. You got to bend over backwards. You're the one that's got to make it work. You're the one that's got to bring the thought of righteousness and justice to the other side, and you're the one that's got to lay it out righteously and justly, and work it out simply, and get rid of the lawyers. Once they push you into a lawyer, if you get into a big fight and they just get a lawyer, and if they think you got money, you know, if the wife says, hey, he's got money, you know, the lawyer's going to jump right in on that. He's going to eat everything up. But, yeah, once you have a lawyer in there, it's all destructive. You don't need them. You don't have to follow that process. It was all unlawful. It was fraud to begin with to become a partnership in that marriage. So, but, yeah, once you get to that point, if you've seen you really can't work through it, but you did the paperwork and maybe your spouse responded or maybe didn't respond back with anything particular, now, and you can't get together and really work it out, then, yeah, go find a counselor to do some arbitration. A godly counselor, of course, would be best, if possible, but secular counseling would suffice. Because then you got a third person who's looking at reasonable things. What is reasonable? Hey, look at this guy just laid out something. It seems reasonable to me. What is unreasonable with that? You see, if you're reasonable and put it together, you know, with justice in mind, you should be able to come to a settlement. And an arbitrator, it's a good idea. That could, if you have to go that route, that's a good idea, because that arbitrator might be able to bring it to the point of coming to a conclusion. And then it's just a simple filing the papers and moving on. Done. Next question.
Okay, next question. Do you know of any cases where the damages can be actually proven? For example, for emotional distress or violation of the 14th Amendment. If proven, how much can we recover monetary-wise?
That's a difficult question to ask because everything, it depends on what you value it at to begin with. I always try to get biblical principles to get some kind of a value. That you can get plenty of things out of the Bible. Repeat the last part of the question again.
Well, the last part was, if proven, how much can we recover monetary-wise?
Okay, and this is in what kind of case? I'm sorry.
Well, any case where damages can be actually proven. Can you do it, for example, for emotional distress or violation of the 14th Amendment and so on?
Now look, the fact that you got to go to court makes
you're fading again, John.
Testing one, two. You
okay,
got me?
You're back.
All right. Look at just emotional distress, pain and suffering. That just comes along with anything. The fact that you're going through the changes, the fact that you're in a court, that's stressful in itself. And as you lay your case out, stress can be seen. So emotional distress is a
degree. Oh, you're fading again, John.
How about now? Coming okay, through? Testing one, two?
You're
okay, Gerard's not here, is? Is Gerard here?
Yes, he is.
Right. Gerard, do you want to take over in a few minutes? Because I'm just not doing very good here with the audio. But let me finish off these questions as best I can and then hopefully pass things over to Gerard. And hopefully next week I'll have my computer up. I feel pretty confident that it'll be up tomorrow. Finishing off on the answer to this question, proving these things as far as, injury, I guess, is the key. Emotional distress shouldn't be too difficult. I'm in a case right now, Gerard and I, going up against the Southern Poverty Law Center. And they have... come and assaulted us verbally, calling us terrorists, writing it down, passing information to law enforcement that we're terrorists. Even though we wrote them a letter explaining, and they didn't care, they think we're lying. Everything we're doing proves the fact that we're not what they say they are. The point is this: they put us through a lot of stress in the sense they put our lives in jeopardy. Because by reporting us to local police authorities and to the FBI, and I've had plenty of visits from the FBI, I've had the Treasury come down, and the people that they sent down actually were really nice people. They seemed to understand what I was saying and saw that I wasn't a quote-unquote sovereign citizen, wasn't lost in any of the craziness or anything. But in any event, it's stressful, okay, and our lives are in danger. The fact that they just said these certain things and put it in writing is enough to prove stress, and I can make up any numbers we want, and we're going for millions. Because, again, they put our life in danger, and they've, defamed us. So, again, that in itself is one thing. As far as other damages, you have to prove certain other damages, money lost, things of that nature, and you should be able to document that just by keeping a record of what's going on. And also, once you know you're running into problems and in a situation, you want to immediately start a log. And, a log is legal. If you start diary, a log, or something like that, Here's when an event started, and you date it, and you say what it is, and what you're thinking, what you thought, what your reaction was. And days later, then they say something or did something, you write it in your log, and your response to that, and then you save all the papers as you correspond back and forth. And you know, that is, and then you swear an affidavit that this is true. An affidavit unrebutted is the truth in a court of law. So there you go. That becomes evidence also. Create a log. And a log isn't just writing something once. You have to put things in a daily way. That also can prove stress and distress and pain and suffering, because you'll put a notes in there. You know, today was a bad day, this, that, and the other thing happened. And, you know, you can make the point that you were stressful, make the point of the damages or the suffering that you're going through on a daily basis here or occasionally there. Again, records are, if kept properly and on a daily basis and then sworn to in an affidavit, proof in a court of law. All right, question?
I just wanted to say, under common law, if you can articulate...
Okay, that was the last question that I have, John.
Okay, I can't hear Gerard. I hear him mumbling a little bit in the background. Does anyone hear Gerard loudly?
I don't think he's talking to us, is he?
Yeah, he's talking. He's saying, how about now? Can you hear me? But he's very, very low. He's got the same problem I got, I guess.
That must be a transmutable disease you have, John.
Yeah, I'm passing it on to everybody. Work on your volume. I'll continue until you get better on the volume. I don't know what to tell you. I don't even know how to fix mine. What I do is I pull the plug out and stick it back in.
Can you hear me at all?
I can hear you very, very lowly. I don't know if anyone else can. But work on that, because I got a problem constantly with my volume, too. All right, let's go to any other questions on that?
I do not have any others. Did you open up the queue?
Let's open up the queue. Well, I'll let Terry open up the queue. Terry, open up the queue for us, please, and or you open it up, either way. And if Gerard gets his mic fixed, he can take control of the queue. All right, anybody wants to get into the queue, if you're coming in by phone, star 6 and a 1. If you're coming in by app, there should be a button to enter the queue. And we'll take our first question as soon as someone gets
about
in.
Now.
Yeah, there you go.
You can hear me?
I can. Can you hear him, Dan?
Yeah, I can hear him. He's a little low, but I can hear him well.
Okay, well, he sounds loud to me, so I'm going to pass it over to you, Gerard. I keep going in and out, and it's a horrible night tonight.
I just wanted to...
We lost you, Gerard.
What's that?
We lost you for a second. Are you shaking your wire or something? Because it's crackling and coming on and off.
I'm having trouble. Ollie's always complaining.
You know, let me just jump to something real quick with you. We can do it in the open air. There's an event taking place. We talked a little earlier about this. I didn't get any details. Out in Pennsylvania. What is that event?
Reawaken America's Court.
He may be worse than me. I don't know. Can you stop all that crackling or no?
I don't know what it is. I don't hear it.
Okay.
Input volume I got way up. How about I put it down a little?
Yeah, put it down just a tweak.
Okay, I just
did. Tell us about what's going on in Pennsylvania. Okay. And, you know, we'll talk privately about trying to get tickets. You mentioned something about that.
Yeah, well, that's going to be on the 21st, so it's only in a couple days here.
Yeah, but I'm willing to travel if we can meet people out there and rub some shoulders together and ask some information and get working together with other groups of people.
Well, they got quite a crew, but everybody that's anybody is there. It's really impressive. It's called the Reimagine America Tour. Of course, there's two in October, but they're all the way across the nation, so... If we're going to go, this is the one we need to go to.
Is this something where we try to set a table up there or something, or just to listen in and try to connect?
Yeah, I don't know. I know that they gave plenty of opportunities. He ended up actually down. He met all these people and down with Charlie Ward and actually put in a plan to get money from the...
You're worse than me. You're coming
what
in
the
and
heck
out.
Is going on? I don't know.
maybe I should just continue for a while. And
sounds like a broken cable sort of thing.
Yeah.
Making and breaking. You don't have a small puppy that chews on your cables, do you, Gerard?
Are you moving your head, and is it a wired mic? And you know.
Well, I don't hear anybody now.
You don't hear me?
You're way back there again, John.
You both went off together.
This is National Liberty Alliance.
How's this? Any better?
Yeah,
this is definitely this is definitely a program that's not going to be put onto Rumble. I'll tell you that. It's just a mess. But we'll continue to fumble along, and next week we will do better. I mean, we've always done well, as a matter of fact. So just a bad night. Okay. Let's take the first question in the queue as Gerard is trying to what he's got to fix. And Gerard, if you're hearing me, I'm sure you still are. Let's get into detail tomorrow and let's moving on this. I'm willing to travel to make this event, and we'll put a word out through the email to the National Liberty Alliance, give more details for anybody that wants to join that event and get out to it, and give you the contact info through email. So, okay. Anybody in the queue there, Terry?
We have three.
Okay, you want to send one over to me? Let me talk. Have them ask the question.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, I click, but they do not. Oh, here we go, unmute.
Oh, this thing is all screwed.
Okay, we have.
I can hear you, Gerard. You want to try to take the questions, and then if you run into worse problems than I got, I'll take over. But
yeah,
go ahead.
I'll try.
Yeah. Don't move too much. Stay still. Stay like a statue.
Okay. I have no idea who this is because I don't have that screen up either.
Yeah. What's the first name and the state of the person that's been unmuted?
Okay. And the name I cannot pronounce. It's like Chaitelli May from California.
Okay. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Oops. Somebody just... No.
They just... Chaitelli Bay?
That's you. I know who that is. Is that Andromeda?
Nope.
Can you hear us, Chantilly? Chantilly Bay. Come in. I don't know
Chantilly.
Chantilly. Chantilly. Hey, they're muted.
Are they muted or unmuted?
Well, it says they're muted. I think they got themselves muted.
Yeah. I can't unmute.
Hey, take the next question.
Okay.
Anybody else wants to get in the queue? Star 6.
Wiley Edwards in there now.
Yeah, this is Wiley. Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is my first time on the call, and I just
Well, call doesn't normally go this way, by the way, but
no, it's okay. I understand. But I wanted to say that I'm 70 years old, and my eyes were open a few years back. Different groups that were trying to teach some type of freedom, but they didn't. They don't have the educational system that you guys got set up. And so I'm kind of excited to, I had signed up before, but it was all Greek, you know, what you guys were talking about. I just didn't do well with history either in high school way back there. And so I'm having to start over again. And, you know, your mind has to relearn or learn what the real thing is about our constitution and our nation. And so, I'm glad to be on the call. And John, I enjoyed your commentary, answering the questions. I know I have a ways to go, but at least you guys have the educational system that I can take it one by one and really get educated before I get involved.
And we also have instructions.
Some other groups want you to get involved, and you don't even know what's going on. And so I want to participate, but I want to learn and grow and to learn the Constitution and everything that's around it with our dealing with our nation. And that's all I have to say. And, you know, God bless the group. We'll continue to increase.
All right, well, let me, am I coming through now, by the way? Testing
you are,
one, too.
I'm sounding good.
Okay. Yeah, let me just comment a little bit on what you were saying. We do focus very heavily on education and instructions.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's up to people to follow those instructions and to follow that education, that do the best they can. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. We make corrections from time to time. We're open for corrections as long as, you know, the correction is valid. And but our purpose really is to educate people on the grassroots level, to inform them, to empower them, that we the people, because I'm doing the same thing on my grassroots level. I want to take this nation back, and we have to do it from the grassroots level. And if you follow the breadcrumb trail, so to speak, right underneath education starts here, come down to start here, and start a committee of safety starts here. And so that's instructional. And the other, that's starting a committee of safety is instructional. We actually wrote a book, it's 70 pages, on how to create a committee of safety, all of the different processes involved. And it takes time, and you learn, and other people come in, and two or three people's heads come together, and you work things out. And we're all in the school of hard knocks. We're all learning. So we'll make mistakes, and we'll fix those mistakes as we go, and we'll move on, because we the people have that opportunity to make the mistakes and to correct them and to take our government back, because it's an unalienable right to have government by consent. That's who we are as a people. And so welcome aboard. And again, you know, this is a bad communication night for us. We have all kinds of technical problems. This is not the norm. Usually we're pretty clear and move along, and we don't have these problems. And we're on back. I think, Gerard, are you on a backup computer too? Are you on your laptop or something? Laptop is what I'm on.
I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness, you're worse than me. I can't. Oof. All right, let's take our next question then.
There was a bunch of people in there and they're gone now. We're back to Chantilly Bay, California. Let me see if I can unmute it. No, it's not unmuting. I got Dan from North Carolina. Let's see. Go ahead. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, there you go. I hear you now. I don't know how much longer. Go ahead.
This is in North Carolina. Dan Stanlin, have you got me?
We do.
We have had a time here, and I know Mr. John is really, he's done great, though. Even though he'd go in and out, he has done a super job tonight, and he always does, but tonight was exceptional because he's gone through a lot. But anyway, back for I'd like to make a comment, and then I might ask a question, too. Y'all still hear me okay? Boy, this is a bad connection. Are you still hearing me, Mr. Gerard?
I can hear you just fine, Dan.
Okay. Thanks, Jan. guys, I can tell you that what we have been apprised tonight is from here on out, everybody in National Liberty Alliance and their neighbors and everywhere else needs to have heard tonight in the last several weeks. Boy, this thing is terrible. The last several weeks, Mr. Gerard has been, man, I'm telling you, so appreciated of what, and everybody needs to go back, if they were not on there, is what I'm trying to say, and get the recordings, because I'm telling you, folks, we are headed, and what was told to us tonight, we need to take this very serious and get behind Mr. John Durash and Jerry Apria and right on Jan Holland and Mr. Terry and gosh knows there's other people behind the scene. Well, with that said, the common law aspects, as to we've already been apprised this evening well by Mr. John Durash, a lot of people would understand if they're going through that with their spouse that they're supposed to be married, you know, for life. In closing with you, the truth of the matter is any monies or anything of controversy, excuse me, is a better way to say it, over $20, then if you cannot settle it separate and away from these attorneys, get away from them. Work out an amicable solution with the person that's supposed to be your partner for life. And if you get to a certain point and, you know, and you could supply a little bit of funds over, say, like I'm a man, and, of course, it would be over to the wife there along and give it, and that would start giving her a feeling of that I was caring for her. At the same token, that is just a partial part of settlement. But the truth of the matter is what I wanted to bring. When you get a difficult spouse that just will not work and is wanting to be a gold digger, then I want the people out there to know that they do have a right. Anything over $20 in controversy, they have a right to form a jury trial and have that accordingly. And, of course, we're talking about a common law court here. So that's kind of I haven't really asked any questions. I've made some comments, but
let me pipe in here. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Come on, Mr. John.
That's a good idea. I didn't even think about that. You're absolutely right. If you can't get that done the right way, you can go in for a jury trial to make the decision. They will fight you tooth and nail. They will do everything they can to prevent you from doing that. They will tell you you can't do that. But if you have a basic education on how the court system works, again, you can get the book to learn that if you don't have that knowledge. But basically, if you have an idea how it works, we can give you some information on how to try to make it work. It's an uphill battle, but it could be done. And as a matter of fact, we developed a process to really force these people to do the right thing. At least we believe we formed that process. And we will share that process if anybody needs that.
Very good. I want to add this for just a second. Mr. John, you for a long time has been carrying this company on your back, so to speak, and that means financially, no disrespect. It takes a lot of funds, folks, out here to run an organization like Mr. Jerry Apria. Golly, Pete, I'm telling you, when you hear him speak and along with Jan, when Jan brings on Mr. John Durash and Brent Allen Winters and other people that comment to this program, folks, we might want to form a little fund to extra support National Liberty Alliance.org, because the expense, you're talking about a Christmas present. I don't want to bring that into play, but you understand, Thanksgiving, let's call it a Thanksgiving little gift. And if we could have a special little someone to oversee, and Jan Holland would be, he'd get the job done for us to send Ann monies into a special account where those funds would be at the beck and call and the availability of how John and Jerry, Mr. Jerry Apria, and Terry and whoever else are totally involved. We need to get educated as to what is in the archives of what's in National Liberty Alliance that Mr. John Durash was sharing with us tonight, and we need to get you know, $39 is a small price for us to become educated. And then we need to move over in the other areas of whatever education is there is what I'm trying to behoove everyone to think in terms of. And so a little excuse me, a fund that would be set up in honor of however Mr. John Durash and Jerry Aprea and Terry and Jan Holland. I mean, Jan Holland is awesomely, tremendously appreciated. And there's others I know is behind the scenes. So I kind of better not speak too much longer here. That's really longer than what I should be speaking.
All right. Am I coming through again? Hopefully.
Yes,
absolutely.
Okay, let's try it. Okay, I also wanted to mention this before, and you know, so many things going on, I forgot. Not only the page under today's issue should you look at for devolution, but also you should look on Q News. There is an Anon that went active at the end of August, and he's been putting out reports. And right now there is 18 reports. We have 16 of them up on our website right now. And the only reason we haven't had the other two is because I haven't had access and my main computer's down. And like I said, hopefully tomorrow it'll be set back up again. And I'll put the other two reports up there. Maybe by tomorrow we might have three reports to put up there. But I want to tell you, anybody who hasn't been listening to those, you got to listen to them because it'll give you the news behind the scenes. It's the, you know, what's really going on, the real battle. It's really laying out what's happening in the war. And what I would suggest is to listen to the latest first and then go backwards. So, you know, right now only 16 is up there. So you can do 16 and work backwards, 15, 14. And tomorrow, hopefully, I'll get the other two up there, maybe three, and then you can pop in and listen to that. And they were very powerful. Those two were very powerful. Actually, all of them are pretty powerful. Lately, there's been a lot of activity, a lot of action. Things are ready to go. Things are heating up. People need to be ready for it. Gerard, how are you doing? Let's try to hear you, see if you're coming through. And
can you hear me?
We can hear you right now. So why don't you try to handle things and we'll see where we go. Hopefully it'll work.
All right. So I'm only seeing, like, well, Wiley we already did, so the only one that's there is Chantilly Bay, and I can't open her.
I see Wiley, Edwards, and I see Chantilly Bay. Oh, yeah, Dan, we already did.
We did Wiley.
Did Wiley as well.
We already did them. The only one that we didn't do is Chantilly Bay, and for some reason, I cannot unmute her. Oh, that's Dan. Well, now... now everybody's gone, so there's nobody else in the queue.
If we have a new one.
Okay, let's try...
John Weissman.
Yeah, hey, you're not muted. Go ahead, John.
I'm just wondering how I'm coming through on my speaker.
You sound fine.
Well, all right, as I'm listening to y'all, this is the first call that I've been on. I'm unable usually to attend them, but I wanted to make this one. What I see is a lot of power in the people whenever it comes to getting them together on the county level, and our city, well, our public servants. I feel that if we come together in the Committee of Safety, in numbers, even small numbers, then they'll start to fear us. But there's a large deception that goes on within the courts. And I heard one gentleman speaking earlier of, you know, if you have a spouse that wants to get a divorce, then you're dealing with child custody. And these things are financially incentivized, these courts are, by the actual proceedings that take place. For example, the Title IV-D, the child support, we'll say, it's incentivized because for every $1,000, let's just say $1,000 per month that I would have to pay to my ex, I have to pay it through the child support system that the supposed judge, which was not actually a judge in his judicial capacity, ordered. But the child support, I have to pay that through the child support agency, and they're like a bank. They're keeping the books. They turn around, they give that $1,000 to my ex, okay? They report the books to the federal government. The federal government reimburses the state or that county that you got the divorce in, 66.6%. So they get $666.66 monthly in addition to another four streams of income. Now, they also create bonds and other negotiable instruments that are floated out on the market. And these are things that people don't know and they don't see. And the deception that takes place in these courts, if you're in front of these judges in the public, okay, we're wanting to be in the private, the republic, okay? I'm in Oklahoma, Oklahoma Republic, the territory, the landmass that is equal to the original 13 colonies. But the state of Oklahoma is nothing more than a franchise or subdivision of that 10 square mile Washington, D.C. that is not a state. Okay, it's the politic overlay over the territory. Now, John, you can correct me at any time if you'd like, but there's a different deception going on that I wanted to convey. And if you hire an attorney, you're considered a ward of the state. You have absolutely no rights at all. Your God-given rights, protections, and immunities do not exist. Why? Because they view you as a corporation. Your all capital name that's on your driver's license, your Social Security card, almost everything out there, if it is not strictly in your full upper lowercase name, then it is not you. That corporate fiction, the rights that are protected via the Articles of Confederation and also within the Constitution for the United States of America, they were meant for men and women, okay? But that all capital name, in accordance to the government printing manual, is a vessel. It's a corporation. It's a vessel to move things through, all right? And you're not granted those protections and immunities. Now, they get away with this because they're allowed to assume and presume a lot of things. Number one, they're allowed to assume that you're a corporation, you're a number. Okay, so this is where we need the juries. If we go in anywhere, do not hire an attorney, for one, because their first obligation is to the court, not to the men and the women that pay them $20,000 or $50,000. Their first obligation is to the court, and they follow the court rules. Why? Because they're part of the bar. What's the bar stand for? British Accreditation Registry, okay? This is Britain rule, their law, okay? And they've come over in the late 1800s, and they created the American Bar Association. And from there, you have the State Bar Association, then the County Bar Association, all right? And these people, all their first obligation is to the courts and the bar. That is their first oath they take, not the oath to the Constitution. It takes second place unless you call them out when you go into court. And you never go into court without specifying that you're there via special appearance. Okay, I don't just appear.
Let me comment.
Yes, sir.
Let me comment on some of those things. Am I coming through okay?
Yes, sir. Perfect.
Okay. Yeah, we can't disagree with anything you said. You're absolutely right on point. One thing you have to realize is it's all a fraud. They had no power, no authority to do the things they did. In 1871, right. With the Organic Act of 1871, they created a city within a city, a state within a city within a city, and that was all unlawful. The Rules Enabling Act of 1934 was unlawful. The execution in 1938 of those rules was unlawful. That's when they claimed to have abrogated the common law, brought the law and the equity together and called it civil law, and we're now under civil law, which is Babylonian law or Justinian law or Roman law, whatever name you want to give it, it's all the same thing. And that's where we're at. All of that was subversion against the United States of America. It was subversion against the people. It's a fraud, and it's unlawful. Now, there is a process to deal with this, and only recently have we discovered a few things, and I would like to get into those details, but I'm not going to do it tonight because we just have too many problems. But next week, if someone brings the question up, I will get into the details of how we can go about defeating this problem, how we can force the courts to do what we expect for them to do, and put them in what's the word I'm looking for?
Put them in their place.
Yeah, we'll put their feet to the fire, okay?
Right.
You know, that's the key thing, to force them to do the right thing. And bear in mind, devolution is, you're familiar with devolution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, devolution is in play, it's being executed as we speak, but they'll realize if they're not paying attention to the news that we're getting, and again, there's X-22 out there bringing good news, there's Christian Patriot, Christian Patriot something or other. Anyway, we have the link up on our website. That's good news. We have now one of the Anons came active in August and bringing us news. We have an individual who is in the service. I don't know if he's out of the service now, but he's bringing us news and information. And we're posting all this stuff up on our pages under today's issues, and you'll find it under Devolution and Q News Anon. And that should keep you really up on what's going on. And there's exciting things happening, great things happening, powerful things happening. And you're not going to hear about it on the basic news, you know, on regular news networks. You're just not going to hear it. You'll get a little bit of good stuff here and there from certain individuals on Fox, for instance. You'll get a little bit, but not the real good stuff, not the behind the scenes. What's going on with Durham? What's being revealed in the Durham case that started in November 11th? October 11th. Started on the 11th of October. And that case is active and moving, and things are happening, and, you know, the news isn't reporting it, but that's okay. It's getting out there to the public, and it's going to get out to the mainstream eventually, because it's not going to be able to prevent it from happening. So there is a way to deal with all of these problems, and you are exactly right. We've had a lot of fights with these people, with the Child Protective Services. We've had fights with the Adult Protective Services. We've done habeas corpuses on those people. We've actually went and fought some cases personally, locally, on those cases. And these people are nothing but pure evil. It's all about money, exactly as you said. I didn't realize it was 66%, but I knew there was a good chunk of money that they were getting, and that's why they want the money to go through them. You need to work out a problem with your spouse and deal with your spouse and get rid of the middleman. And you can do it, and we can help you if you learn how to get into the court system and learn the process. And again, you could do that by getting the book, Court Access and the Common Law, right-hand side of the website. You also should get the book, Government by Consent. It covers all the stuff we're talking about. And between those two books, you will have an extreme amount of knowledge, and then we can give you some additional details and assist you. And again, look, little by little, it comes together. All you have to do, what I suggest, especially someone who doesn't know the court system yet and how it works, what I suggest is to sit down and read the book Court Access and the Common Law from beginning to end. Just read it as a book. Right? Don't do nothing else with it, but read it as a book. Then come back and start using it as a reference book to write your papers, how to write your papers, because once you read through it, you'll get a good idea of what's going on. And then you'll be able to use the table of contents to find certain things and use it as a reference book. And again, to write your papers, how to serve your papers, what papers are involved, you know, how the summons has to be worded. I mean, everything is in there. And what cases, how to build a case, and what are the requirements to make a case. All of that information is in there. And again, that's where everyone should know how to represent themselves in school, and in a court. I was thinking of the schools because we're doing textbooks now. Okay, I'm working on three textbooks. We have Brent working on one textbook, and we're working possibly with the NCCS, National Constitutional Studies. I believe it is NCCS. What's the second C?
National Center for Constitutional Studies.
There you go. Thank you. Okay. And we're going to be, you know, their potential, they've already got some textbooks out. We're trying to change some of their other books into textbooks. So they may be working with us also. And anybody else that wants to work with us. I know we do have a volunteer here with National Liberty Alliance for someone to assist us. You know, questions to be asked and taking books, turn them into textbooks. But we're doing two books on the on One on the Federalist Papers, one on the Anti-Federalist Papers, on the Harmony of the Gospels, which is an important part of our education because it teaches morality, and it gives people a purpose to live for ultimately. But our Founding Fathers laid that out, and as a matter of fact, we wrote about that in the book too. But our Founding Fathers laid that out, that education should be a Christian education, at least a biblical education. And matter of fact, that's what education was, back 50, 60, 80 years ago, quite some time ago, probably 80 or 90 years ago. And what are the other books we're working on? We want to turn the, there's a couple of books, The Real Thomas Jefferson, unbelievable book, The Real George Washington, The Real Benjamin Franklin, three great, great books. And that's what we want to turn into textbooks. We're going to take, Government by Consent book, and we're going to turn that into a couple of different textbooks. So we bring to our children education, the Constitution, civics, what their duties are, the militia. Our children should learn how to handle a weapon, a handgun, an assault rifle, and a regular rifle for hunting or whatever you want to use that for. Our children should know how to handle a weapon. They should be taught respect of a weapon. Our children should be learning how to drive in school. We shouldn't need licenses, but education can take that up and make sure that children, when they get to a certain age, that they can drive. All the things that and we should be teaching our children, not what to think, but how to think. Okay, get them into the classical studies, the classical books, to give them the real, the big view, the big picture of life. And that in itself, that will create children into becoming very creative themselves, to become career-minded, to become duty-minded, to become an appreciation, to understand their heritage. I mean, all these things can be delivered in school instead of how to put on a condom or, having children concerned about their sex life.
Amen.
Or something that, they think that they have to become. They just confuse our children. They're destroying our children. They're destroying our entire nation. But we, the people, can take it back. We will be working on those things right now. They will be accomplished eventually. It may take 3-4 months to get these books together, maybe a little more. I don't know, but some books will start to come out. We'll get a lot of partnerships, but it's up to the people. Well, it's up to the people to get the committees of safety going. It's up to the people to push these into the schools within their community, within their county, and to make sure that they take control. And to excite the parents that have their children going to that school to get involved, to take control of what they're learning, what their education is. And we will take them into the courts to stop all this garbage that they shouldn't be teaching, which I think devolution is going to clean that right up. We need to bring a proper education in. And that's one of the reasons why I was talking with Gerard earlier about this Pennsylvania thing, because we need to get out there to meet people. And kind of rub shoulders with them to get the word out and who we are, what we're doing. I listen to talk shows and I hear people saying, hey, the people got to get up there. General Flynn, for instance, is always telling the people, you got to get active, you got to do things. But he doesn't tell them what to do because he doesn't know what to do. And I appreciate that. I didn't know what to do. Not many of us know what to do because they didn't teach us that in school. And it's not something you just pick up. I mean, you have to learn it somewhere. And that is the purpose of National Liberty Alliance. That is what we discovered, and that is what we're teaching, and that is what we're trying to get the people to express and get out into their county and to bring their schools back into the subjection of the people, bring their courts to the subjection of the people,
Amen.
To bring their political individuals that local or county or state or even on the federal level, bring those individuals under the thumb of we the people. And we need to work together through our committees of correspondence, committee to committee, to say, hey, let's work together with our congressmen to force our congressmen to do this and to force our senators to do that. Let's make them do the will of the people. Let's get rid of these political parties, which is nothing but damaging. This was created by the Bar Association. I'll tell you right now, the parties were created by the Bar Association, and it was initiated by the Federalists all the way back when they were debating the Constitution. They were already had their fingers into the
It sure pills, was. Yep.
And it goes back to 1750 when the bar was established here in the colonies. And the purpose of the bar was to destroy our natural law republic. Well, we didn't have a republic yet, but we did have natural law in the courts.
Well, John, is that not where that original 13th Amendment barred attorneys from Congress?
We are going to push that in the courts. It's one of the things we're going to be pushing in the courts within the
yes,
next
sir.
Couple of months.
Very important.
We want to take the Bar Association. They need to cease and desist because they're destructive to our union, and they teach subversion, and there is a penalty of up to 20 years in jail for teaching subversion. I forget. I think it's up to 20 years.
John, is there not nine or 13 different states that within states' libraries, they actually have the original Constitution or the 13th Amendment that barred attorneys from Congress? You're faded out, brother.
You're gone again. You're gone again, John. Again.
We need you, John Durash.
Hey,
we probably had to take a drink of water, and it kind of disconnected a little. Maybe I don't know.
How's that? Is that any better now? Am
you're
I back in?
You're dipping your mic.
Every time what I got to do is I got to unplug my headset and plug it back in, and I come back in again. I don't know. What do I know? I don't know. I forgot exactly where I hung off.
We were
I was
on
coming
that
to an 13th anyway.
Amendment barring the attorney.
Oh, yeah.
How they took it out
yes.
and they replaced it with something else. But some of the states that the document or the wording still exists.
It's in the congressional record. I have a copy of the congressional record, and we have a copy of other documents, different states. Absolutely. We have a copy of the original 13th Amendment.
There's 13 states that still have it in their state.
Yeah, I have the document somewhere on my computer. There are multiple states that have the actual original Constitution within the books
and
within their library. Huh?
It's within the record, absolutely. And,
yes, it is.
So we have that, and we have already put, I believe we've already put that into the court,
okay.
But it will be evidence that we'd be put up into the court. Hopefully in the next couple of months, hopefully in the next 30 days, we'll be able to have our paperwork ready to go and start filing.
If I may, what about the congressional record as it relates to the 14th Amendment, United States citizen? Because I bet you almost everybody here has checked off government documents stating that you're a United States citizen.
Well,
are you aware of the congressional record to where that was basically ruled null and void? It was a it's an attempt to usurp power from the people.
Well, it's a distortment of the meaning of these words and what's said. And yeah, they did do it for a purpose to really enslave us, to bring us under the thumb as a citizen. Bear in mind, we are United States citizens, every single one of us. If you read the Constitution, the word citizens used 7 times in the United States Constitution. Our founding father spoke about being citizens, but we are citizens of a natural law republic, okay, which brings us into a very special kind of a relationship, and ultimately our government is underneath the citizen, and that is the key. But it is true that they have established certain words and created certain things, and I think the 14th Amendment might be one that they try to push in that direction. Let's take the 16th Amendment, for instance. The United States Supreme Court has ruled on that. And they could have just said it's null and void. But instead, what they did, they pushed it back and said, hey, look, it just didn't add anything new. You can't add the person. The direct tax is already in the Constitution. You can't put tax onto the people. You can't create a bank. I mean, all of these things, under, what is it, the 16th Amendment, the is a major problem particularly. But we also have other problems, like the 17th Amendment, which took away the sovereignty of the states. And they did that by, bringing the senators out to a vote of the general public, which we already had representation. Senators were representing the states, and they were to be chosen by the legislators of the state. And that is how our union and the balance of power was put together. So there was a balance of power that was destroyed. And when they took the senators away from the states, then at that point they destroyed the balance of power, and they nullified the authority of all states. They have no more authority. They have no say. They're enslaved to the federal government. We're going to fix every one of these problems. We're going to address every one of them in our papers, and we're going to demand.
Hey,
we're going to let it be known in the very beginning that this is an indictment This is an indictment. We the people, because we're coming in as the unified United States common law grand jury against the judiciary. And we've already filed basic papers. We've been doing so for 5 years or 4 years now. But the final paperwork, which was always planned, we didn't know exactly how we're wording it. We also always knew that as time comes and we get to that point, we'd be more educated. We have more information, more understanding, and our abilities would be greater. And that's where we're at right now. We're ready to file those papers. And so we're going to be dealing with all of these problems. The Bar Association must go. The jury must be given back its proper power and authorities. The courts must be controlled by the people and not by a political animal. Judges need to be judges only in equity courts and never touch the inside of a court of law, with the exception of wearing the magistrate caps. We got a lot of correction to make. We're going to make it list by list. I think people are going to be very excited about it when we get this paper written and laid out. But one of the key things, we're going to start our papers out. And remember, we're coming in as the unified United States common law grand jury. And one of the main things, the purpose of this particular paper is to be filed in a way to say, to let it be known, this is an indictment upon the federal judiciary. That's where we're heading. It's going to have to be heard by the United States Supreme Court. And if they go astray at that point, then we'll do a quo vanto on them and we'll just move directly into the people and let the people decide, because that's who we are as a people. The people must decide. But we first will try to get the decisions by the United States Supreme Court, because it is up to them to repair this problem. If they created this problem, not the individuals, but the justices back in 1938 created this problem by agreeing to these rules, the Rules Enabling Act, and executing that, and then just getting rid of the common law. Well, it's time for them to bring it back and put everything back together the way it is. They got the power and the authority to order all of the courts within the federal judiciary to be obedient, and we will lay out exactly what it is that they need to be obedient to. It's going to be very clear, very in-depth, and hopefully we'll catch every point. Once we post it, we'll post it before we file it maybe, and people can comment on it, and maybe if we're missing something, they can let us know.
Comment? I have a comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. John, I feel that most of these things are in violation of our Constitution.
Yes.
We don't have to get them to reject it. We just nullify it.
Well, that is exactly what we're going to do, is nullify it. Okay. It's going to be an indictment upon them. In other words, we got to force the United States Supreme Court to force the federal judiciary to be obedient. There can be no charging of money to come into our court. We already paid for our court. We paid for that, John. We paid for everything. Okay.
We cannot hear you, John. Try again.
I can't hear him, but I just, go ahead if you're there, John.
Am I any better? Can I come through now?
Right now?
That's better.
Okay.
I think we just push those laws. They're fraud. Marbury versus Madison.
That's it. Well, they don't listen to anything we say. We have to make it with force. We have to come in with an indictment.
Okay.
It's an indictment. We're bringing an indictment. Bringing an indictment before the United States Supreme Court for the federal judiciary, and they need to act upon it. And each part of everything we have to say, they have to respond to properly. There's no arguments. There's no debates. This is what it is, and it will lay it out with plenty of proof and lots of footnotes to make it clear upon the paper. There's nothing to discuss here. There's nothing to be decided. What has to be done is to be ordered. We have to order the courts to allow the common law to be opened again. We have to order the courts for the juries to have total freedom and the power and the authority of nullification. We have to order the courts to be obedient to the entire Constitution and to allow us to come in there without pay. And to step aside and let the people run the courts, because it's their courts. It was never meant to be for a judge. There's the king of the court, and the king is represented by the king's bench, and that's the people, and there's nothing else to talk about. I'm going to kind of cut it off there for now because it's not a good recording tonight. And next week we can get into this subject matter again and get into more details and a lot more details on how to get into the courts and deal with the courts from the standpoint of forcing them to be obedient unto the Constitution, forcing them to allow us into the courts without paying, forcing them to give us our due process, forcing them to give us our courts of law by juries. This is what we need to understand. And again, it's an addition to the book, and I will post a page with these papers on it and get more information. And when I get the time, I'll update the book.
So. Does that mean you don't want me to post the recording, or I'm going to?
No. Post the recording. I'm not going to post this on Rumble, though. You know, I try to put a lot of our cases, our nights on Rumble, but you know, I don't get them all up there. I get the ones that I feel is necessary, and you know, tonight was a good night, but there's so many technical difficulties. I think it's just depressing. So, with that, we're going to have to bail out in a couple of minutes, and we'll be back Monday. Does anybody have anything final? Do you have a final statement, or anybody got anything final before we go? I don't know. Is there anybody else in the queue? No, there's quite a few people in the queue.
Yes, yeah, there's a lot of people in the queue again.
All right. Yeah, I apologize. We just had so many problems tonight, so we're going to end now, I think. I don't know. Gerard, do you have anything to say before we end? Or anybody else that's got an open mic?
Well, I do know somebody asked earlier what sort of reparations they would get or, you know, possibly in any case they might have against the government. The violation of rights is many, many. But one is that Trezvant versus the city of Tampa, and it amounts to the violation of a man's rights where they actually put him in jail, which is you can be restrained of your God-given rights and protections and immunities without being put in jail. Nevertheless, that it boils down to be like $1.6 million a day based in the 1980 value of money. So,
well, you got to understand, what you need to understand is we're all casualties of war, okay?
Yes,
every
yes,
one of us. Anybody who has lost a home through non-judicial foreclosures on the other side will get their homes back or at least get restitution for those homes that were stolen from them, because that's what it was. It was stolen from them. Anybody who had been in jail and habeas corpus was not recognized, any federal jail, these people all need to be restored. And there's plenty of money to restore these people. Everybody just as an individual that's living life under the conditions we've been living. You know, look at when I was younger, I was a general contractor and a construction manager. And when I came into the business, I met a lot of the old timers. And the old timers, they seemed to have a lot of money, numerous vehicles. They had homes, boats, you know, more than one home. Pools, a couple of them indoor pools. I mean, they just were filthy rich, and that's how it was with business. I was learning, and as I was getting closer and closer, I was doing a lot of major projects, but I just couldn't really make the money because inflation just destroyed it. And today, inflation's almost impossible. But the point is we've all been robbed, and that's the point I'm trying to make. Every single one of us has been robbed. And when we put these people in jail, and a lot of them, we're talking over 350,000 people that are going to go to jail, and quite a few of them, I'm sure, are going to be hung. Okay, and all of these corporations, all of the money that they have, the gold, the silver, the properties, and all kinds of different equity that they have, is going to be taken away from them, and it's got to go back to the people because they stole it all. And so we will, every single human being in the United States will be restored in one way or another. And some people, again, will receive homes, they'll receive money, you know, that were robbed from them. They'll receive money for the time they spent in jail or some kind of restitution. All of this has to be worked out, and we will assist in any way we can. But I don't think we're going to have to really do too much on that because I think the process that through devolution and what Trump has put together and what he's spoken about, and we've listened to what's going on behind the scenes, this is moving forward in that direction. And that's where we're at.
John,
so there's a lot of good things coming down the pike.
Yeah, John, we have Ed from Arizona, National Coordinator, that would like to say a few words. Can we unmute?
Sure, go right ahead, Ed. And we need to get together and talk. I've been kind of out of the loop for 3 weeks, so but go ahead, Ed.
I've been observing the difficulties we've had, and I'm wondering if we are not being attacked actually directly.
Definitely not. No, I'll tell you why, because I'm working off of a laptop, a Windows 10, and maybe it's going to sleep. Maybe that's what's shutting me off. I don't know. You know, it's foreign to me, and that's my problem. And Gerard's got a problem with his computer. I'm convinced by next week, as long as I get my computer up and running, we won't have these problems. I don't think it is an attack. But go ahead.
And besides that, I just wanted to let you know that things are stirring. Things are happening out in the COS activity. So I've been missing our meetings, but things are happening. Are we there?
I'm here, Ed. Yes, sir. We're going to make it happen, buddy.
You bet. I think we're the only ones here.
No, I'm.
Am I coming through?
Yeah, you're coming.
Am I coming through?
Yes, sir.
Am I coming through?
Yes, sir.
Testing 1, 2.
You're coming through.
Okay. Okay, Ed. Yeah, we're gonna get together hopefully this week. I don't see why we shouldn't. You know, tomorrow I'll put my computer back together, and maybe Wednesday or Thursday I'm gonna start reaching out to people that you and others that we should be speaking and talking and knowing what's going on. So we'll talk this week. All right.
Good. Thank you.
With that, we're gonna end the program. I gotta get going. Lord willing, we'll see you all next Monday, and I trust that we won't have these technical problems then, and we'll pick up things from there. We've got 2 subject matters that I'd like to talk about next week. If someone brings them up, we'll get into them. But we'll see how things go. Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.